Fargo Mayor Tim Mahoney says he's all in on David Cebulski staying on as mayor, but it's taken a while to get there. Two people were injured in Moorhead by Fargo cops. It's taken a while to figure out how this all happened. And inflation comes in mild for July. It's taken a while for some people to figure out that inflation is not a country killer here. Good afternoon, my friend. Steve Ahlstrom here with you. It's August 12th, 2025, and the Minnesota State High School softball tournament was still won by a guy. And we are still here every weekday between 4 and 6 p.m. to catch you up on the latest happenings. These days, there's another crime to talk about. It seems like pretty much every day on this program, a violent crime, police action, maybe some of both, which is what we had in Moorhead today. I actually saw this on the Star Tribune's website out of the Twin Cities. I guess Fargo-Moorhead has got so much going on here, we're worth paying attention to because there's always news coming out of Fargo-Moorhead. Crazy. West Fargo's sitting there going, hey, we're over here running a pretty easygoing city. And then there's Fargo and Moorhead. It seems like there's something going on just about every day. Speaking about something going on every day, the mayor of Fargo, as I mentioned a minute ago, has had some long conversations with the police chief, and he is squarely behind him, strongly supports him to continue as the police chief of Fargo. We'll talk about that today. Boy, there are some storylines to this one. No question about that. Some new inflation data came in today, and it showed very benign activity from inflation. Now, prices continue to go up. There's no question about that. And because prices have gone up like crazy over the last 5 years, it probably feels worse than what statistically they might tell you. But if you take a look at what's happened the last 6 months of the year, basically since Donald Trump has been in office, inflation is under 2% annualized. If you take a look at the month over month jumps over the last 6 months, there's just not much there. And sooner or later, the people saying, well, just wait, the tariffs are going to kick in. It's sort of the cry wolf game of economics right now. And the problem for them is that the big increases just don't seem to be kicking in. So we'll talk about that here today, too, on the show. Republicans think that this could finally be the time that they could get a governor in St. Paul. Someone could beat Tim Walz, who we don't even, by the way, know if he's running again. But who is the favorite? Another name has entered the fray as someone to look out for. There are more candidates than I would have thought that are in the race. I read that today. There's a few people who have announced that I haven't heard of. I'm still not sure that we've got the candidate in there that can win. And we'll talk about that here today as well. There was a press conference today. Actually, it's going on right now about the officer-involved shooting in Moorhead. There were multiple Fargo police officers involved, and they are the ones actually that took action against the suspect. And so that all is coming out today, and we're going to get more information about that. Ken Duffy, our news director, is going to be coming in at 4:40 today to break this all down for us. And I'll tell you where inflation is up and where inflation is down, where prices are going up and down. So we'll talk a lot of money issues here today. Shannon Full will be with us, keeping with the theme today. She is the president and CEO of the Chamber of Fargo-Moorhead West Fargo, the people that make the money go around in our community. And we're going to ask Shannon her impressions about how businesses are doing, how debt and interest rates affect them, what she sees coming up the second half of the year and early next year, and what's happening in business here. What are some of the big storylines? What are the things that business people are thinking and talking about? We love these conversations here on the program because small business makes the world go round and certainly makes our economy go round. We are coming to you live from the Steve Ahlstrom Studios here on the second floor of Thunder Road. The Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness phone line is open for business at 701-271-1100. They have recently expanded and can get you in fast over there. They now offer counseling, occupational therapy, physical therapy, and a nurse practitioner. Make an appointment. Get in this week at valleychristian.co. So you can call us at 701-271-1100. You can text us at 701-237-1590. And you can email us, studio@flagfamily.com. All right, let's get rolling here with the 4 o'clock wrap. Semi-automatic storylines, we're going to give them to you rapid fire. so that we can move quickly through what has been a very busy day. August 12th, the year of our Lord, 2025. Average high for this day is 82. Average low 58. Record high was 101 back in 1984. Record low 40 degrees in 1964. Sunrise this morning was at 6:21 and sunset will be at 8:42. We will lose 2 minutes and 54 seconds of daylight today. In the market today, tame inflation data and the president's comments have the market soaring today. Dow is up 483 points, S&P 500 up 72, NASDAQ up 296. The S&P and the NASDAQ both at record closes today, and the Dow Jones Industrial Average knocking at the door. WTI crude oil today down another 88 cents at 63.08. We are starting to see a gradual drop in oil prices. Typically, this means that people think there's either going to be a big supply or there won't be much demand. I'm not hearing a lot of that in the news cycle or from people I talk to, so interesting. Let's see what that's all about. Gold today is down $5 an ounce at $3,399. Silver up 15 cents at $37.94. Bitcoin today up another $1,000 at $120,044. If you take a look at the Bitcoin chart, this is going to be a very interesting one to watch because Bitcoin now is basically back up to some of those all-time highs at 120. And it's been seeing very good volume, which means people are behind it and getting involved to drive it up higher. So you're seeing a very healthy increase in Bitcoin value. I don't know where it stops. I get the feeling that we're going to continue to see new highs on Bitcoin here for a while. We'll see what happens. AAA says the average price of a gallon of regular unleaded gas nationwide is $3.14, North Dakota $2.88, Minnesota $2.94, and South Dakota at $2.98. In the news today, the biggest story of them all, Fargo leaders met today with media. They did kind of one-on-one visits with different media companies. Our crew, Flag Family News, was able to get one of those interviews. They met with Fargo Mayor Tim Mahoney, the police chief Dave Zabolski, and City Administrator Mike Redlinger. And the headline coming out of it is Mayor Mahoney saying, "I feel Chief Zabolski is doing a good job. We feel well served by our police force." Mahoney says they've had to have a bunch of conversations about getting information out and not being, my words, not his, so bullheaded about not wanting to get information out when people want to know what is going on. So they're making a change to the protocol, change to the policy. And the mayor says he has no plans to remove Zabolski or initiate proceedings to do so, which will mean that coming up on Monday night, it'll be a very interesting city commission meeting because both Dave Pepcorn and Michelle Turnberg, two of the five on the city commission, have indicated that if the mayor doesn't do what he what they believe he should do, that they will initiate those movements to remove Zabolski. And the prediction here is it will fail on a 3-2 vote. I don't believe have the votes. I believe that Commissioner Kolpak will fall in line with Mahoney, and I don't think that John Strand ever wanted to remove Zabolski. So this will be a very interesting next week or so. The mayor says that Zabolski just had one bad day in front of the press. We've learned from that. We're also learning what the community wants as far as getting information out. So we need to make some changes, but not any changes to the leader of the police force. Forum reports that two people were injured and the Red River Valley SWAT team was called in to assist during an incident late Monday in Moorhead. Multiple Fargo police officers fired their guns. Happened in the 2400 block of 3rd Avenue North just before 9 p.m. Red River Dispatch indicates it was a domestic disturbance. And what we don't know is, were there other law enforcement agencies that discharged weapons? We don't know that, but these members were part of the SWAT team and felt it necessary to discharge weapons. As I always like to say here, we give benefit of the doubt to the cops because they go through training like you and I can't hardly even imagine about when to use force. So we'll see what the details turn into there. Two people were injured. The extent of their injuries not public as of early this afternoon. Again, a press conference is taking place in Moorhead right now, and we'll have more information about that coming up at 4:40 today. Here's an interesting twist on one of these crime stories. It's getting to be hard to remember which crime is which now over the last couple of weeks. We've just had a rash of violent crime. There's no other way to say it than that. Well, the mother of a 19-year-old that fired a gun in Fargo and killed a person, this woman says, claiming to be his mother, has reached out to the forum saying that she has surveillance footage that will exonerate her son. And she knows, she says the police know that Tyreek Jones was not the person, but he was identified as the prime suspect, and they're trying to find him now. But the woman says that her son is not armed, not dangerous, and not guilty of the murder that he's being charged of. So we'll see what happens there. There will be mosquito spraying, hallelujah, in Fargo and West Fargo tonight. It'll be starting after 7:45 because of, well, you know why. There's 8 gazillion mosquitoes per square foot in this town right now after all the rain. So relief, maybe for just a little while, but we'll take whatever we can get is coming. WDAY Radio reports that the Minnesota State Patrol made more traffic stops during WeFest this year. They did about 100 more than they did last year, about 1,150 traffic stops altogether. But the good news is, while the total number of infractions were up, there were fewer seatbelt violations, DWI arrests, minor consumption citations, driving after revocation situations, and other various arrests. So, I guess better news than last year. There were 511 speeding citations. That was up from last year. Also increased this year were hands-free violation citations and warnings. People on their phone can't have the phone with you in Minnesota when you are driving. WDAY Radio reports that there is a new Republican challenger in the race for the seat of outgoing U.S. Minnesota Senator Tina Smith. Navy vet Tom Weiler announced his candidacy over the weekend. This now means we have Royce White, Adam Schwartzy, Alicia Grunhagen, Raymond Peterson, Mike Rojo, and Tom Weiler. So there are a lot of people that want the job that say that they're in it to win it. This is a Senate job now, not the governor's chair. And I keep waiting for either Liz Collin or Michelle Tafoya to throw their name in for either the Senate seat or the governor's chair. And I think either of them would instantly vault to the front of the line. Nothing against any of those other people. I just do. Consumer prices rose 2.7% annually in July compared to last July, less than expected. Amid the, quote, tariff worries, says every major news organization who continue to tell us that we should be worried about the tariffs month after month after month after month after month. The numbers, though, show that the month-over-month numbers were only 0.2% for the comparison of June to July. That, on if you annualize that, that's 2.4%. If you take the last 6 months, we are at 1.9% inflation rate over these last 6 months, if you annualize those 6 months. So it's bringing calls again for lower interest rates. In fact, the president himself came out today and threatened Jerome Powell with a major lawsuit if he does not lower interest rates. He said the evidence and the data is very, very clear. But Powell just is basically has it out for Trump, which might be. It might be. It's getting harder to come up with any other theories at this point. They just keep saying, we think inflation is going to be a problem at some point. So we're going to hold rates where we are now, which they admit is a restrictive policy. So we're now going by the philosophy of, well, something could happen someday. Kind of a deal there. CNBC reports that the cost of living adjustment for Social Security may go up in 2026. It was 2.5%. That was the increase to the monthly checks in 2025. But now new data coming out is showing that the based on inflation and other things, that it could be a 2.7% cost of living adjustment next year, which is weird because inflation is quieter now than it was a year ago. But that's what they're saying might happen. And finally, if you're a Twins fan, but you're mad at the team because they traded away all their players, they don't seem to want to pay enough money to get more good players to come. Well, you're not alone on that. The Twins are on pace to sell 1.8 million tickets this year, down from 1.95 million last year. The Twins are down in average attendance from 24,094 to 22,298. So that's about 2,000 fans less every single game. The team, as you probably know, sold off all of its, basically every single one of its good players, and in some cases didn't get much of anything. They absolutely cleared the deck on talent after just being in the playoffs 2 years ago. It was not that long. Take me back. Those were fun days. All right, 422. Those are some of the stories that are making headlines here today. It's called the 4 o'clock wrap. That's what we do. Well, Republicans think that 2026 could finally be the year to beat Tim Walz in Minnesota. Who is the favorite? Depends on who you ask. Another interesting suggestion was thrown out today. We'll get into that coming up next. Need a new garage door or fast, reliable repairs? OnTrack Garage Doors got you covered. They specialize in commercial, residential, and farm shop doors, plus expert spring replacements and door repairs. OnTrack Garage Door is proud to be veteran-friendly and grounded in strong Christian values. Quality work, honest service, and a team you can trust. Don't get much better than that. Let them get you on the right track with OnTrack. Call 701-793-4246 today. Lisa DeMuth was elected to be the Minnesota Speaker of the House. She was elected to the role on February 6th, making her the first black person to become Minnesota Speaker. And she is one of the names that people are pointing to that could be a surprise choice for the Republicans to run for governor and potentially beat Tim Walz. Republicans think 2026 could be their best shot yet to beat Tim Walz if he decides to run for a seat again. We don't know that he will. He has said that he'll wait until after the state fair to make that announcement. Not sure why the state fair is magical, but maybe he wants to sort of gauge interest. A little bit of shine has left the apple for Governor Walz after running along with Kamala Harris and getting beaten in the election back in November. And so now, what do you do next? It's kind of hard to start measuring, you know, for new furniture in the VP wing of the White House and then go back to being a governor. Shouldn't be, but I've got to think it's a little bit of a downer, and a loss like that is tough to shrug off. Walz has been controversial. He has enjoyed decent, if not overwhelming, support in the state, particularly in the Twin Cities metro area. In the outstate area, it's a very, very different story. And people think that maybe it'll take somebody like Lisa DeMuth, an African-American woman who is a Republican, but one who chooses her words carefully. She does not project as Trump 2.0, although she's very conservative, and her record, her voting record, her legislation she's introduced, all of that, very solid. No Republican has won a governor's race in Minnesota since Tim Pawlenty back in 2006. We didn't even have iPhones back then. And Donald Trump was nowhere near being on the scene there. Tom Emmer and Pete Stauber, a couple of congressmen from Minnesota, say they will not run. Scott Jensen and Kendall Qualls have gone in that race before, and they're back in. But neither of them brings that kind of newcomer, like, name with some sizzle. Here we go, somebody that can really kind of generate that kind of energy that you need to do this. And I feel badly saying that because I'm a big fan of Scott Jensen and Kendall Qualls. They would both be wonderful governors, but you got to win the race. And I think people will see Scott Jensen as that guy with so much COVID baggage that, I don't know, it still ends up to be a likability contest. Kendall Qualls fits the bill, African-American, great businessman, military guy. The guy is rock solid. His platform, his positions, everything lines up very well. But I just don't think people know him. And he doesn't have that name recognition. So maybe Lisa DeMuth could catch some attention. As I've mentioned you many times before, I think Michelle Tafoya or Liz Collin would be wonderful choices there. But neither of them has indicated that they want to get in. And they could be interested in the Senate race as well, because Tina Smith is leaving her post. And Angie Craig is going to get in. She will be, any Democrat from the Twin Cities will be tough to beat. And she certainly will as well. So who else might it be? I don't know. There's been some talk that Pete Hegseth might come back to Minnesota. I guess he's from here. But I don't know what the rules are about if he still has a residence. I don't know about that. Other than that, I just don't know. There's probably a lot of good candidates there. But nobody that really makes you go, oh boy, that's a bombshell if that person decides to get in. So we'll see what happens. I wish that Matt Burke would have stayed in Minnesota. He was the running mate for Scott Jensen last time around. That would have been interesting to see what Matt Burke, former Viking, a guy everybody loved. And that could have been interesting. But he now lives in Florida, and he said, to heck with this. I'm out of here. 4:31 here on the Steve Alstrom Show. We have a lot of stuff still to come before the top of the hour. We'll be visiting with Ken Duffy, our news director, about the officer-involved shooting in Moorhead and the big announcement today from Mayor Mahoney that he is standing behind Dave Cebulski to continue on as Fargo police chief. So we'll do that. First, though, a check of news and weather. We start with the news. Your smile is more than just your teeth. It's your confidence, your joy. Really, you're talking about your story. At Dakota Implant and Sedation Center, Dr. Matt Eaton and his compassionate team help you reclaim that smile. Same-day smile transformations that are truly life-changing. Think about that. What would it look like? How would it feel if you had a brand new smile? They know how hard it's been, so they make it easier with sedation, kindness, and payment options that work for you. Call the caring team at Dakota Implant and Sedation Center in Fargo. Visit DakotaImplant.com, DakotaImplant.com. In no time, you'll be smiling like you mean it. Visit DakotaDentalImplant.com today and start your journey towards smiling like you mean it. All right, I am joined in studio by Flag Family Media News Director Ken Duffy. Ken, thanks for stopping in.
Sure, Steve. Absolutely.
So we've had a lot to talk about over the last, basically last week or so, week and a half, since that weird Saturday night into Sunday morning happened with what's now being called a rash of violent crime. And there are kind of two big stories that happened today. And let's take them maybe chronologically. So there were officers from Fargo that were part of a SWAT operation in Moorhead that happened last night. Tell us what we know.
Yes, so Moorhead police, along with Fargo police and other authorities, held a press conference just a short time ago, and they filled in some details. Last night, they called it a critical incident with not a lot of information given out about it, but now we know a little bit more. Basically, two people died last night. They were shot during a response to a domestic assault. A woman had called them, I guess, and they had to respond to the 2400 block of 3rd Avenue North in Moorhead. This is at an apartment complex on that street. This victim said she was attacked by two men that she knew. There were two small kids inside the apartment as well. They said when officers went to the apartment to make an arrest, they were going to arrest one of them, according to Chief Chris Helmick. Gunfire erupted. So at that point, they decided to call in Red River Valley SWAT. When they got there, there was an exchange of gunfire, and two men received gunshot wounds and died from those gunshot wounds.
Now, so this is new information from the press conference just a few minutes ago.
Yeah.
Because throughout the course of the day, it had been reported that there were injuries, but we didn't know they were fatalities.
We knew that two were injured. Now we know that they died.
Okay.
So, and again, last night they described it as a critical incident in their press release, and that usually means that a suspect was shot or injured, but that is new, that both of them died. So they were struck by gunfire. It's unclear who exactly died. They won't say if the suspect they wanted or suspects they wanted were killed.
Mm-hmm.
They just don't know that at this point. They say that the names will be released at another time. The kids were unharmed. That's also important. The Minnesota Bureau of Criminal Apprehension has been called in. They are now leading this investigation, so they're kind of deferring to them from now on as far as updates. They say there's no ongoing threats to the public. Chief Dave Cebulski was there as well because Fargo police officers were a part of that SWAT team, and he says three of his officers were involved in firing their weapons. Now, they do not know if their gunshots actually hit those people or not, but they say that he says that they did fire their weapons last night. All of those officers have been placed on standard administrative leave. That does not mean they're in trouble necessarily, but it's part of protocol. And the city attorney will determine if anything will be done further from that.
Okay.
He says that they He was also asked if they're going to release the name of the officers, but he says they're going to wait on the BCA for that because they've really taken control of the investigation from here. But it was a wild night last night, and now we know that two people were killed during this response. But we did know at the time there was a large law enforcement presence in that area. We just had very little information about what happened. And there was a question, too, about why do you call it a critical incident? Because that's just a very vague term to the general public. They basically said that they say that because they essentially don't know either. It could mean an officer-involved shooting. It could mean a whole bunch of things. And they're trying to couch it by saying we have this amount of information to give, and we're going to give you what we have, but we're not going to say what we don't know. Mm. So that was the general gist of that police press conference. But that's the update on that.
Wow. Well, it's just a continuation of whatever is in the water right now in this town. It's unbelievable. And yeah, this is a little different because you don't have, you know, criminals in the community shooting and killing other people. In this case, you have law enforcement taking lives of these people. But, I mean, it could easily have been officers shot, right, when you have people that are firing back against police. And I don't know what is happening right now, but it's something darn near every day. It's crazy what's happening here.
It's been a crazy week or so of violence for sure across the FM area. I think what is really good right now, though, is that authorities are sharing more information with the public and getting out there and doing this. And this is also unique, different, too, for the Moorhead Police Department. I think that's a real benefit for the public to hear about, even if it's 24 hours later in this case, if they didn't know at the time if these two people died or not. Now we know, and they still don't really know exactly what happened, but they're going to share more information through the BCA. But I think that's a positive step in the right direction as far as letting people know what they know and getting a public face on it, too, not just sending out a statement and saying what happened. I think that is important for the public, too, to see people out there talking about that information and taking some questions, even if they don't have answers.
Yeah, and you and Austin have done a really good job asking questions about that and getting not just press releases, but getting information. I know you have said in our newsroom at times that it's hard to get information. It has been historically hard to get information here, even though we have, you know, 12 communications people in the department. It's just been hard to get information. So especially now, I'm glad to see that people aren't so tone deaf that they don't spend time and just say, oh, we'll just put out a press release when we know. I'm glad to see that they're out there in person having these meetings.
Yeah, I think it's been a positive change for everybody. I think what happened, you know, we'll talk about this as well, but that Fargo police press conference on August 4th was uncomfortable, but I think probably a good thing for everybody to kind of go through that to say, hey, you know, we need to do something here and we need to do something over here. And everybody is kind of learning from that process. I think from a journalist standpoint, when it comes to asking questions, you need to ask some questions sometimes that make people uncomfortable. That's how you get information. You do it in a respectful way. You don't do it in a way that's belligerent or aggressive or disrespectful. But there is a way to do it to get the information you need because I believe that we are still a public service. We represent the public, too, at these press conferences. We're asking questions on behalf of the public because they cannot be there. So I think that everybody's kind of understanding that now.
Yeah.
So it's a really good thing, I think.
Well, and I think you touched on something that's really important here. As media companies have trimmed their staffs of live news people, there aren't as many people to ask those questions as they're used to. And I look at the scene when we've had some of these press conferences, I look at the video and see who's in the room for the reporters. Okay, I know that person's from the forum. I know that person's from here and that person's from there and that person's from the other place. There are less agencies that have people, live people down there that are asking these questions. And if we don't ask, like you said, there's a way to do it, but you've got to at least ask the questions, even if they're uncomfortable, to get that information out because the public is counting on us to be able to get that information to them and ask some of those tough questions about why was this not done? Why was that not done? And have more getting back the other way than just, well, this is not what we do. So I'm glad that people are doing that because we need to have had to have more perspective on
this. Yeah, it's about asking fair questions. Yeah, that's what I think it is. The bottom line is that. And I think, again, everybody's kind of learning from this whole process that is really important.
So I just want to make sure we tie up the details on the Moorhead thing. This was a domestic. So a woman had called and said she felt threatened by two men And we know that two men are dead, but we don't necessarily know it was those two men.
Well, she was assaulted. I
mean, she actually assaulted.
She
okay.
was assaulted by two men.
I see. Okay. I missed that. So, yeah. So she calls. Police show up. And I mean, I'm thankful. It sounds like they must have got there pretty quick based on if there's an assault at a residence, the cops show up and the guys are still there. That's pretty quick work. So good to know on that one. I also want to ask you about kind of the bigger conversation today that's taking place. And apparently you and other media outlets were invited to do these kind of one-on-one conversations, and one-on-one being one-on-three, the mayor, the chief, and city administrator Mike Redlinger. How did this happen today? Did you just get a call saying, hey, come down here and let's talk about these things? How did this happen?
They had a press conference yesterday, and they sent this out pretty shortly after that press conference to say, hey, we're going to be available tomorrow, the police chief, the mayor, and the city administrator at police headquarters to talk about the future of the police department. They just
okay.
kind of left it at that.
Okay.
And actually, that's the way I started my interview. I said, well, this is about the future of the police department, so tell us about the future yeah. of the police department. So the mayor started off by saying that you know, he basically is defending the police chief and wants to keep him on. He believes he made a mistake and they can move on from that. And that was the general message they gave, that they know that they're taking accountability for missteps that were made as far as the communication was concerned. But the mayor says that they feel well served by our police force. So he feels the chief is doing a good job. They also talk about the bigger picture, looking at the full body of work. They kept saying that phrase over and over. He's been on since 2020. He believes he's brought about positive change to the police department, calling him a change agent in his words, citing examples like implementing 10-hour shifts for officers to give them time with their families, and he thinks that's been a benefit. They do admit that he had a bad day with the press that day, and they think they've learned from that. And Zabolski himself, again, acknowledged that he took accountability for that and that he needs to, you know, make some changes. But overall, they basically told us that they're on a three-month plan to change the communication and operational makeup of how they handle this stuff from now on. So they're basically saying that they're crafting a policy to not just better communicate with the media, but it's also about the public as well. And I also asked a question about, you know, I've worked in other markets where a police chief or police commissioner and a mayor, if there's a really bad shooting or such, I used to work in Baltimore City, for example, you'd see the police commissioner and the mayor on scene with the officers, and they were getting ready to talk to the press. And they also had a public information officer on site, too, coordinating what was going to happen on the scene, not just at the police headquarters.
That couldn't happen very often, though, right? I mean, the mayor and the police chief, they'd have been out there every night in Baltimore, wouldn't they?
No. I'm talking about it for a big moment.
Major thing,
you know,
yeah.
big things that happen in the city. They are there, and they do a press conference on site yeah. with whatever information they have. And I've been in those situations where they come to the microphones, they tell you what they know, and they tell you what they don't know. And sometimes you don't get a whole lot. But the whole point is that I just asked if that is something that they're going to think about doing in those instances. Because it's one thing to hold a press conference at police headquarters, which yeah. is getting information out. But it's another to see, you know, the police chief out there with the officers to show that he's on top of it, too, to the public and such, and also just to give us a briefing. But he basically said that they're having conversations about that, that they want to do that. He doesn't want to hover over their shoulders, necessarily, the officers. But they are considering a whole bunch of things to do going forward. But the gist of that conversation was, we want to move forward. We learned from our mistakes concerning this, despite the fact that some people think that Chief Cebulski should stay. Others still think he should go. They believe he should stay, and he has, you know, earned his place there, and they want to move forward and learn from this.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting next Monday night, because both Pepcorn and Turnberg commissioners have said that if the mayor doesn't do it, we will bring forward a motion to fire the police chief. So we'll see what happens there. I want to ask you if the subject came up today about the relationship with Zabolski and the rank and file. We have heard from Commissioner Turnberg in particular that she says that there are many police officers that have issues with Zabolski and the leadership, and many of the senior kind of veteran cops have left, and then we found out that Bill Alfelt is leaving, And then I saw today that the forum had interviewed a couple other of the veteran police officers. I assume when they were down there for this, they went and did that afterwards. And these veteran officers said, no, Zabolski's been good. He's been good for this department. Have you gotten a sense at all for what Zabolski and Mahoney are saying about Zabolski's relationship with police officers? Is there any hint of a problem there, do you think, that those guys believe, or do you think that everything they feel is just fine?
No, the sense I get is that the mayor is satisfied with his leadership. He that's why he's saying, I want him to stay, and that's why they held this media availability to tell the public and the media, too, that we're going to keep things the way they are. We think we made some mistakes here. We're going to keep things the way they are and make some improvements along the way through this three-month plan. But again, they again refer to this, look at what the chief has done over his 5 years for us, not just in this brief moment, snapshot moment, which they admit that they made mistakes, taking accountability for that. The mayor said that, you know, in the past, there have been calls for Chief Todd to resign. It's not just Chief Zabolski because they made some mistake. And he's saying it's very common to do that. Those are his words. But he believes that he is the right person for the job. He says he's brought crime down. They have this traffic team created. They're bringing in arrests. He says the things we've asked him to do, he's doing. He feels satisfied with it. I can't speak for any officers that may or may not like the chief, but this is talking about what the mayor says. He makes the ultimate decision in some ways about his future, regardless of the upcoming commission meeting, but that is a sense I get from
all right,
top
Ken.
Brass.
I appreciate you coming in. Thanks for the update.
Sure,
appreciate
sure.
your time. Ken Duffy, Flag Family News Director here on the Steve Hallstrom Show. So here's the one question I have after all this. I'll tell you when we come back after this break. Steve Hallstrom Show continues. There have been times throughout my adult life where I have listened to people tell me that the statistics show blank, and they'll make a point that the COVID vaccine is safe and effective. We have statistics to prove it. And I say, I just don't know that I feel deep in my bones like that's true. And I wonder if the numbers were right. They told me that Joe Biden got more votes than Donald Trump did, and it was all done legally, and we had an accurate and fair election back in 2020. And I looked at the situation. I said, okay, I don't know that that seems right. I get that they have numbers, but my spidey sense is telling me that something's fishy here. I don't have quite the same strength of opinion about Fargo crime numbers as I did in those two cases. In those two cases, I felt like I'm pretty sure that I don't have the real numbers. Whatever the accurate real numbers are, I don't have them. I don't know what the city of Fargo is pointing to when they say that we have the statistics. Crime is down in Fargo. Maybe it is. I have my suspicions. I have some doubts. And maybe it's recency bias. We haven't had, whatever's been these last 2 weeks, it is some bizarre sort of something's in the water kind of a thing going on. And I get it. This is not representative of what Fargo is. But I do feel like we've had an escalation in criminal activity in this city. Maybe we're just reporting on it more. I don't know. I'm not going to call anybody a liar, because when you question someone's character, you never come back from that. Like, you can never take that back. And if someone is lying to you, they can never take that back. So maybe they have numbers that say that crime is down in Fargo. That doesn't make sense to me based on what we know. Now, per capita, we can make that argument a little easier. Well, per capita, as the city has grown, we actually have, you know, one crime per 1,000 people, and now we have 0.95 crimes per 1,000 people. Okay, maybe that's true. I don't know. How do we begin to get those numbers? Because we've seen this federally. A lot of the crime numbers have been, we changed some categories, we changed some definitions. Therefore, it's almost impossible to get accurate numbers. All I know is I don't feel as safe in Fargo as I used to. And I'm glad to see the mayor and the police chief talking about like that matters to them. But I wish we could get all of the numbers and verify for herself what we're being told. Hour two of the show coming up next. We start with the text line here in hour number two of the Steve Hallstrom Show because a very good question was raised to me, and I think it's worth responding to. Steve, do you think it's a contradiction that you are talking about the effectiveness of the COVID vaccine when you run advertising on the air for Pfizer? Good and fair question. So let me tell you about this. This came up quite a bit when the COVID vaccine just came on the market. And there were ads on this station probably every day and maybe even multiple times a day talking about get your COVID vaccination. Those were ads that came to us through our feed from Fox News Channel. The ads that you hear on our station are not all ads that we sell. Some of them, when we take programming that comes to us, as part of our agreement to take that programming, we also have to run some ads that they embed in their programs. Or that they will say, you know, we'll give you this program for free, but you've got to run these five ads once a day or something like that. We never had a contract with Pfizer. Flag Family Media, Fieldstone Group, never made one penny from COVID vaccines. Pfizer or anybody else's. Those were all deals done with big people. We just were not able to turn down those ads contractually, or we would have lost our news coverage. And that means all the debates you hear, all of those feeds, the audio clips that you hear, we would have lost all of that. So we were not in a position to take those ads off the air. Believe me, we talked about it. We made some calls that, hey, look, our audience is not going to do well hearing these ads. And we did not have any choice in doing that. I will also say that if your comment to me is that you run ads for Pfizer right now, I can have an issue with one of Pfizer's products, but also feel like Pfizer probably has a lot of other pretty good pharmaceutical products that we do that are more well-tested and that have more history behind them. So I'm not going to throw the baby out with the bathwater. But a good and fair question. And I think probably a lot of people don't know that a number of the ads that you hear come to you through embedded ads or ads that are part of a plan where we have to take it as part of other programming we choose to run. And sometimes the ads will come down and we don't get to approve them. So you'll hear an ad and I'll ask about it sometimes. It's like, hey, wait a minute now. What are we doing here? And I find out the ad's been running for 3 weeks. We've said before on this show that if there was like your Pornhub or whatever wanted to take ads out, we would deny that. We would not take those ads. It doesn't matter if they paid you $100,000 a month or whatever. We would not take that. And if Fox News Channel, for instance, sent down ads for Pornhub, we would say, okay, sorry, listeners to the flag, you're not going to get Fox News anymore because we cannot take this. It's an absolute obscene. It offends everybody's decency. And during the time of COVID, COVID vaccines, when they first came out, they were controversial, but we didn't have any of the data that we now have raising some of those question marks. So I just thought I'd touch on that here a little bit here as we start the second hour of the program, because I thought it was a good and fair question. Another comment from the text line, and you can send one in too, 701-237-1590. Zabolski's more worried about kids squealing their tires in South Fargo than catching actual criminals. Okay, I can't speak to that, but you may know more than me about Dave Zabolski's intentions, but thank you for that text. You can email us as well, my friend, studioflagfamily.com. You can call us as well, 701-271-1100, 701-271-1100. Now, let's have a little fun here with some interaction. We got a call that's come in as well on the Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness phone line. We'll get to the top five of five here momentarily, but Randy in Barnesville wants to have a word. Randy, how are you?
Well, I'm doing pretty good. How about yourself?
I'm doing great. Thanks, Randy.
Great. So Friday afternoon, I got in late on the conversation, but you were interviewing a senator or something, law person from Minneapolis area.
That yes,
was
sir.
A trans.
Yep. Lee Finke is a state representative from St. Paul. Their people reached out to us and said, hey, would you be interested in having Representative Finke on the air just to talk through issues? I said, hey, that sounds like good radio. And so we did. We did that on Friday, yes.
Well, when I first turned it on, I thought, oh man, I'm going to have to find a different radio station to listen to. Because you went over the edge. But I have to hand it to you. In the end, when you got you were very polite and respectful to him, and I got to commend you for that. But in the end, when you asked, when you told him that you thought what he was representing and how he, what he was doing was pure evil, I just about jumped right out of my skin. I was so proud of you at that moment, and I just wanted you to know that. And I think a lot of people listening probably felt the same way. You were very respectful. You asked him if you could be friends, and he didn't know that he could do that. But you handled it absolutely perfect, and I wanted to commend you for that.
Well, thanks, Randy. Yeah, when I said that, I was like, oh, God, I did say that, didn't I? But it's what my heart believes, and I can separate. So I don't think that Lee Finke is trying to be a bad person, an evil person, or whatever, but I think that part of his worldview is damaging and dark when we're talking about children. I will stand up for anybody's right. Once you're 21, go ahead and do whatever you want to do. And he asked that at the end. And I, you know, this is a free country. You can do that. But it is true. And I think if the good Lord was sitting next to me on that day, the good Lord would have said the same thing, that particular piece of what Representative Finke believes is evil. And even though I don't think Representative Finke is trying to do something wrong, I think he believes that he's doing the right thing and that his motives are pure. But hey, if I commit a sin, my kids do or whatever, there is evil in that too. And so it's not personal in any way, but I just felt like it needed to be called out with that particular word, as uncomfortable as it was, I think, for all of us.
Well, you did a great job. The other reason I was calling is you were talking about crime in Fargo and more, you know, up here. I live in Barnesville, and I'm so glad I don't live up here in this, because it's getting worse and worse. And while you were talking about that, I was driving down Broadway at 5:04. I was driving down Broadway, and I could not believe the people that were hanging out on Broadway. I did not feel safe. My wife and I have enjoyed going to the restaurants down there, the Boiler Room and the fish and chips off Roberts there. And boy, I don't know. I don't know that I want to, that I even want to go and patronize those places just because of what I just saw on Broadway. And it's 5:00 in the afternoon.
Yeah.
There was, I don't know. I don't know. I didn't see any drugs changing hands, but there was a guy dancing on the sidewalk that was completely stoned out of his mind. His pants were down around his knees. And I mean, there's things going on down there. If the chief of police in Fargo needs something to do, go down to Broadway.
Yeah, Randy, thanks. Yeah, thanks for those comments. I have been downtown. I've been trying to go downtown a little more lately. I've had people tell me that it feels different down there. And the times I have been down there, I would agree with that. I've been down there twice for dinner, and then we went to get ice cream over the weekend and had a good time, didn't see anything that felt threatening. But no question, there are things that happen like that. And this is where the city needs to be, needs to apply its resources, because it only takes, Randy, you one time to drive down Broadway and you see what you saw there, and your impression of downtown is going to be it's going to leave an impression on you that won't leave for quite a while. And then you call the radio show and we talk about it. And now who knows how many people are hearing that. And they've got to have more enforcement down there to say, okay, look, if you're, whatever your situation is, if you are mentally ill, we've got to get you some treatment. If you're on drugs, we've got to put you in lockup until you get sober, or you're going to go to jail if you're just being, you know, an offender of some kind. But we've got to get, it's not so much that 2 a.m. bar closing. We all know stuff goes down at 2 a.m. bar closing. But when you're talking about Tuesday at 5:05, and yes, it might be the only person that was stoned out of their mind or whatever the situation was, but it's got that reputation now. And because of that, whether fair or unfair, the city's got to go both barrels to try to figure out how to take care of this and get those people off the street. And I believe that starts with the homeless shelters need to be moved out of the downtown area. Randy, thanks for calling. I got to run, my man, but I appreciate you giving a call today. Thanks so much for hollering today. Let's go to Ken on line two. We can talk for a little bit. Ken, give us a call as well at 271-1100, and it opens up a phone line for you that Randy dropped off at 271-1100 as well. Hey, Ken.
Hey, Steve. Say, 60 years old, lived here my whole life, Northside kid. Fargo's not what it was when I was a kid. I mean, it may seem kind of silly to say, but, you know, back in the day, they had the 10, hey, it's 10 o'clock, do you know where your children are?
Yeah.
Before the news came on. This is a bigger city. This is, you know, so, and what's going to come with it is bigger city stuff.
Yes.
And I don't know that I'm ever going to get used to it, you know, because you used to hear about things in Minneapolis that would go on, and you go, oh, man, I'm glad I don't live there. Well, yeah, you know, now I live here still, and these things go on, and that's, I don't want to say it has to come with it, but it does. I made a delivery yesterday out to the south side. I mean, my God, this is a big place. You know, you go out south of 52nd and you're just starting. I mean, I remember back to something called the Convent Road, and now it's, you know, 52nd Avenue. You know, there was nothing out there but crickets and wheat fields. You just can't have that much people, that much stuff without incidents. Now you get into statistics, you know, and the old thing is, you know, there's three kinds of lies: lies, gosh darn lies, and statistics. You know, I mean, you can take statistics and talk them any direction you want.
That's
to,
right.
Because you can pluck and choose whatever you want. But that doesn't mean that there's shootings all the time. Just that you look back to 1987, Marv Bossert. If we had a shooting, what?
Yeah, right. Well, here's my question for you, Ken.
That long ago. I mean, it was in a way, but in a way it's not.
Right. Here's my question for you. Do you believe that crime is down in Fargo? Because that's what the message is from the city. Do you believe that?
Well, but again, you get that per what? Per capita? Probably. But again, we're just still a town with three TV stations. You know, yeah, sure, you got cable now. But I mean, you know, I mean, as far as news goes, you just got three news gatherers. You always, you know, that's the same kind of thing that we had back in the day. And I mean, my God, two years ago, a cop got shot and killed.
Yeah.
I mean, what?
Yeah.
And yeah, now you hear it on the radio, but you know, there was a shooting. Okay. And you just kind of go, there was a shooting.
Oh, yeah, I know it.
Talking.
Yeah.
Ken, I don't like that.
No, I don't either. Ken, thanks for giving a call. I appreciate your time. I got to scoot along, but I do thank you for giving a call. Thanks for listening to the program. Two things. Number one, is crime rising or falling? I want to know the per capita numbers, just like Ken said. He has it nailed. I don't want to know, like, if the number of crimes is up or down. Obviously, the number of crimes is up. We have more people here than when Ken was talking about 1997. We all understand that. But I want to know per capita, where are we at? And I don't want to know about, like, speeding tickets. I want to know about aggravated assault, robbery, murder, things like that. What we've had here just in the last 2 weeks tells me that even per capita, our violent crime has to be up in this community. I mean, it's story after story, week after week after week. I want to see the numbers. I do. Second thing I'll say, though, is that even if crime is up, I don't know that that's on the chief of police. And I think a lot of people, because many conservatives do not like Cebulski because of past stories we can get into at another time. But I think a lot of people just, they want to get the chief because of that. And that's not fair either. Who the police chief is and the job that he does is only a part of this. We need to have the right laws, and we need to have the right sentencing and judges and all of that. The right facilities. We got to have enough jail cells. We need more people in jail. We just do. I'm sorry. I know that sounds mean, but our job is to protect the people who are not committing crimes in the city. So I want to know what the numbers are. And then even after that, I'm not willing to take anybody out back and shoot. Well, bad choice of words. We've had enough of that going on. I'm not willing to say it's anybody's fault, because I think there's a lot that goes into it besides how good is the chief of police. Sure, he could be better. I could be better at my job, and so could you. But I want to look at the whole scene. And when people say, well, you know, jail doesn't really help, so let's just have them stop for a day and then they're out. I'm sorry. That just defies my sense of logic, that you have to know that if you commit a crime, there's going to be some penalty. You're going to do time in jail. Yes, if you're mentally ill, it's not going to register. But that will do something. It has to. There's no way that it can't. So I want to see the numbers. I want to see them per capita. and I will be open to whatever the results are. And I will not call anybody a liar if the numbers don't play out what I think, but I may be a little bit, I may ask a few more questions. But then second of all, let's not look at crime as just an indictment on Dave Zabolski. Crime in Fargo has a lot of things. And you know what? With the way society is going, with addictions and how Fargo's a stopping point for drug traffic going every which way on both interstates, there may not be anything that we can do with rising crime. We could have all the jails, all the laws, all the sentences, all the right judges, all the cops, all the everything, and it still might be enough. But I do think the best chance we have is making sure that we have an abundance of police officers that are well-trained and that they are active being around and harassing the bad guys and making it uncomfortable to do crime here in this town. I don't know what else you do. I do know that that would work. I don't know that anything else would work, so I would start there. 523, Steve Alstrom Show. Thank you for the conversations. This was good stuff. We still have the top five at five to do before Shannon Fulltruck's in here about 5:35 or so, and we'll talk about the business community here. So when we come back, we've got the top five at five, including new information that we now know from the press conference just about an hour ago. Two men shot and killed, three officers on leave. This one not in Fargo, but right next door in Moorhead. That's next. All right, time for the top five at five, the five most consequential stories in the news cycle today. These are stories that pass the so what test for me. Starting with the story of the day, two men in Moorhead shot and killed, three officers placed on leave. There was a domestic assault call in Moorhead. The SWAT team was summoned. That means officers and deputies from all over coming in. And two men exchanged gunfire with authorities, and they were shot and killed. We only knew that they were injured up until a press conference at about 4 o'clock today. So that news fresh here as we have gone through the Steve Hallstrom Show there. They called it a critical incident last night. Now we know that two are dead. Not in Fargo, this one, in Moorhead, right next door. Story number two, the mayor of the city of Fargo, Tim Mahoney, says that he fully supports Fargo Police Chief Dave Zabolski and is going to advocate him staying in his job. He says that I feel Chief Zabolski is doing a good job. He told that to our Ken Duffy here today. He says that the chief has made some mistakes in communication and maybe got a little too lost his composure with reporters. But overall, he's done a lot of good things in the city of Fargo that overshadow the issues that have come up recently. This will lead to I've got a call into Dave Pepcorn. He has said, he's on the record as saying that if the mayor doesn't begin proceedings to remove Zabolski, that he will do it at Monday night city commission meeting. So we got that to look forward to. That'll be a circus on Monday night. Story number three, CNBC reports the consumer price index went up 0.2% from June to July. Year over year, it went up 2.7%. Both numbers under expectations, or I guess at expectations, but in the twos, which is an important number when it comes to interest rates and Federal Reserve targets and things like that. So most experts saying I'm a little surprised that we haven't seen more inflation because of tariffs, which if they listen to the Steve Hallstrom Show, they would have heard that. Not that I know, but I there's some people I trust who have said it, and I've been believing them all along, and they've been right all along, so I've been going along for the ride. Social Security cost of living adjustment is predicted to be now 2.7% next year after a 2.5% bump this year. So those of you on Social Security may be getting a little bit more when you get your checks next year. And finally, kind of a two-for-one story, two of the biggest brands in America say that they may not survive the rest of this year in business. One of them makes sense. The other's like, whoa. The first one is Kodak. Yes, Kodak. Remember, we all used to buy Kodak cameras and film. Well, Kodak said there is substantial doubt about their ability to stay in business. They are just not able to generate the kind of revenue with some of their digital products that they've had before. And then the second one, Spirit Airlines warned today that it might not make it through another year. They're trying to raise some cash to restructure debt. They emerged from bankruptcy just months ago. So in any economy, right, you've got these AI, the tech companies that are printing money, basically, and then you've got some of the old brands that are going by the wayside. And that is a look at the top five at five here today on the Steve Hallstrom Show. Short break for us. When we come back, Shannon Full will give us a look inside what business people in our community are saying and feeling about what's happening in the world around us. We'll ask her if she's got any comments on Fargo being a good place to live and work as well. So all that when we continue on the Steve Hallstrom Show. Don't go away. CardCare Systems is your best choice for an ATM partner. If you just provide the location, CardCare Systems handles the rest, and you get a share of the ATM fees with lower credit card processing fees as well. They sell and service ATMs too. Nobody provides better ATM customer service than CardCare Systems. You might qualify for their free 90-day placement program. Give them a call and find out more about that. 701-235-3090, 235-3090, or just go to online, getmyatm.com, getmyatm.com. Then you can brag to all your friends. I've got an ATM. That just sounds cool. It feels like you've made it. If you have an ATM at your place, we are pleased to have in studio today Shannon Full. And Shannon is president and CEO of the FM West Fargo Chamber. And anytime we get to have on business leaders in the community, I love it because as a person who kind of does all the bean counting here at our place, I enjoy hearing what's going on in the community. So, Shannon, we're thankful for your time. We appreciate you coming in today.
Thank you. Thanks for the opportunity.
You're a busy lady. It seems like every time I get something from the chamber, you've been to D.C. or to Vegas or to New York or somewhere. So you're home for at least a night. That's good.
I'm home for a while. The sessions are... We went through two pretty crazy sessions in Minnesota and North Dakota. And that when we are in Bismarck and when we're in St. Paul, they're different political philosophies, right?
Yes.
And so, and then we did quite a bit of work in DC this year. And so there's a lot going on at the national level, obviously, with the administration change and things there. So happy to talk about, what some of our members are thinking. Yeah. So
your job is so interesting. And I feel like I couldn't do your job because I have so many opinions about things, but you can't be political, right? You've got to play that down the middle. You got to speak to everybody on all sides and try to just advocate for businesses. It seems as though the people on the right are kind of more business minded than people on the left, or they're at least more aware of the issue. So how do you, when you're advocating for a business, how do you go down to St. Paul and not come off as a Republican when you're down there?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. You know what? One of the things we're really striving for is that we're really looking at what are the policy positions that are really important, not the partisan lines that support them. And you know, there are pros and cons in both of the parties right now, right? We've got unfortunately, a challenge across the country, not just in politics, but just in simple, you know, I was just looking on Facebook, unfortunately, in the society today, we lack civil discourse, right? And so that ability to have a differing opinion and yet come and have a respectful conversation.
Yeah.
So we see more and more polarization, fragmentation. This is happening on the far extremes on both sides of the aisle. And so it's been interesting in doing this work for this is my 25th year leading a chamber. You know, whereas maybe 15 years ago, the chambers were really pushing for policy issues that are aligned with a specific party, right? Now it seems, though, that we're just really looking for sane center, sensible middle, try to figure out how do we make progress, continue to, you know, the mission of the chamber is to promote growth and prosperity, right? And so if we're looking at that, we need growth and prosperity with our communities and regions, with our companies, and with our individuals. And so that's what's been really fascinating.
You took a trip not too long ago with some business leaders to D.C.,
mm-hmm.
and it was kind of when the whole tariff thing was shaken down, mm-hmm. and you had a lot of reaction there. From in D.C. or you were able to get the reaction from our lawmakers in D.C. I want to ask you in a non-political way, because mm-hmm. I love those conversations too. Do businesses in Fargo, Moorhead, West Fargo, our metro area, do they feel like the tariff program that President Trump is putting together has been hurtful to them in any way? Do you see some of that?
Yeah, I think it really depends on who you ask and where their business lines are. If they're a domestic business, there are less implications of that, right? But if they're doing any type of international, whether they need international products or services, they're a trading company themselves, There are challenges with it. Now, even that, though, you'll have differing opinions on the tariffs needing. They were a necessity, right? Not a nicety. They were a necessity, but the extreme to how they came about or even the method and the way in which they were brought is sometimes scrutinized. So it really depends on how people are, where they're not saying necessarily that we want the we want there to be a level playing field, an even playing field. But the fact that those tariffs were kind of broad based to different, there's questions around, you know, what the Canada versus the China approach, right? And the close proximity we have to Canada, our largest trading partners, that also is scrutinized
for our state. Yeah,
correct. So, so it really depends on the industry, what they are looking for. If they're an international or a domestic company, the size of the business. If they are in the sectors of manufacturing or construction or agriculture, where they need access to steel, they need access to, you know, or agriculture is production ag. Those types of things they're just different perspectives, which that's what makes the country go round, right?
What sort of sectors are in our community that are reliant on foreign imports of some kinds? I'm trying to think of who those people would be. I guess maybe Bottle Barn Liquors might have some Canadian whiskey coming in or something, but I'm struggling to think of how many kind of businesses are that are like that, where they're bringing in imports.
Yeah, so if you think about the tariffs that are the highest tariffs, if you're looking at things like what is this going to do to steel or to lumber or to, and we've got agriculture equipment manufacturers that are dependent upon that, or steel companies. So some of those raw materials, those products. Then when we look at the agriculture space, what is happening around trade as it relates to access to food sources and to, you know, feedstock, and where we can't, if we're not able to produce enough ourselves, you know, and we're dependent upon other countries. What does that look like if we are, or if we're exporting to those other countries, and now you have retaliatory types of tariffs? You know, it's interesting that you say Bottle Barn. We actually were in D.C. With the president and CEO of Happy Harry's.
And Dustin.
And what does amazing, a great business owner. And his perspective was so interesting because he was more on now that Canada, so we get a lot, there's a lot of business that comes down from Canada to our region for regional shopping, and liquor and liquor was one of those where he was seeing a significant decrease in the license plate count from Canadian license plates than pre-tariff to where it is now. And it's maybe not just the tariffs. It's the whole sentiment, the tariff trade, the people,
51st state,
the people side of this. And that part was interesting because that has had a direct economic impact on the decrease in the people that are coming down. And then not to mention Canada then put in retaliatory tariffs even on liquor. So when they came back, so they might save money coming down to buy their bottle of whiskey when they go back. They're taxed at a higher amount just coming back into the country. It's all fascinating how it all ties together.
Yeah, and was the thought process that Canada, that those people are mad and that they're trying to make a point in not shopping here? Or is it that the prices now are higher and so they don't want to come and shop here? What was the motivation for fewer license plates?
So in we had our agriculture, our Midwest Agriculture Summit, and we had the Consulate General Beth Richardson from Canada here as our speaker. And we asked her those same questions because we said, well, what really needs to happen, right, with Canada? And she said it is more the sentiment than anything, right? That people, Canadians need to just, because I said, what can we do to reassure that we need Canada as a friendly partner, right? An ally of ours, just even proximity of where we are. We're very dependent upon that flow across the border for people, for goods, for services. And she had just said, you know, you just need to like get a business leaders group and come up and say that to some Canadians, right? Tour some of the companies up here. Go back to the what we were doing was relationships between that, right? So it's a fascinating thought, right? And everybody has differing thoughts on what that would look like.
Yeah, so. And nothing is we people want to make it that we live in this all or nothing world where everything is all perfect or all horrible, and nothing is on those polars, right?
Correct.
It's everything is some sort of nuance in the middle.
And we live in a world of compromise, right? Like that people have a little give and take in all of this, right?
So. Yeah, right. Locally here, what are the issues? What are the things? I guess I'll try to make it real, so I'll add a little dramatic effect just for fun here. But what is keeping business owners up at night here in the Fargo-Moorhead, West Fargo area?
Yeah, so I think there's a combination of things, right? If it's a company that's really looking at growth, they're looking at, yes, policy issues at the local, the state, and the federal level. Are there policy impacts to the work that they're doing? Whether it's regulation, whether we could go on and on, right? Taxes, inflation, the cost of doing business. So as business costs continue to increase, how can businesses stay competitive? How can this region stay competitive, right? The piece we probably hear the most still about on a daily basis is workforce. The cold hard truth is this is a numbers game. We just simply do not have enough people to fill the positions, and specifically the current positions, but also the future outlook for those companies. Mm. And more so, the workforce isn't aligned with a skill set of those high demand jobs and careers. So it's probably, you know, the workforce challenge is one that's multi-pronged, and we need lots of aspects to it of not enough people to upskilling, to having the right skills, and that people's hiring practices are shifting some, that it's no longer we just need a body. No, now we need the right body with the right skills. And that skills-based hiring mentality is a big piece of this. So
The workforce thing is interesting. My sense is, and this is just my spidey sense and it could be off, but back in the COVID 2021, like people could jump and get another buck an hour or whatever. Mm-hmm. And there it was real mobile that way. It feels like it's a little different right now. Mm-hmm. It feels like it's a little harder. I know several people who have been looking for a job, and I'm like, are you kidding? In Fargo, just go walk in the door and they'll hire you. And I'm hearing, Steve, it's not exactly that way anymore. But again, right, it's in the middle somewhere. But how much better is it than where it was maybe 2021 and 22?
Yeah, so it is, when you say better, it depends on, again, what perspective are you thinking better? Better for the job seeker or better for the employer, right? And so for the employer, we still have over 8,000 open jobs in our marketplace that we know of, right? And you think about that number is low. When you think about a Sanford is posting a nurse, they could probably use 20 nurses, not just one, but it might be one posting, right? So we don't have a real accurate piece on that either. That ability, or what we see as more the trend of hopping, so to speak, for a little bit more in salary or better benefit package, that seems to be getting harder. But to the point that people are saying, I'm looking for a job, again, it's the misalignment of the skill sets and the people that we have. So you think about if we have people in the technology. So we're seeing this with AI and the integration of AI into companies, and what positions are being, and I wouldn't say replaced, but more transformed.
Sure.
Those transformed are generally, okay, what's a coder doing, right, in an IT type of a world, and can that be augmented by AI? If so, then that coder with that skill set, how are we upskilling or retraining to allow for that individual to continue to have opportunity within the technology field, or maybe it's to shift into a different field? So
We need to take a break. I've got like 65 questions left for you. And of course, this always happens in radio, but I do want to ask you about what the confidence level is in our community. Mm-hmm. In the business community. And I want to ask about public safety as well. There's been a lot of talk about that. And do business people feel like public safety is a problem? We'll continue with Shannon Full, President and CEO of the FM West Fargo Chamber. Those questions, and if I can sneak anything else in, we'll do that too when we come back. All right, a couple more minutes left with Shannon Full. And Shannon, I want to ask you, and Steve from Fargo, hang on. We want to catch your question in a minute, but I do need to get this one in. What is the confidence level of business people in Fargo that things are going to be good in the final half of this year? What's your sense there?
Yeah, my sense is that there's still a significant reserved optimism, right? That there is optimism to where we're going. I do liken it a lot to there's a direct correlation between the level of uncertainty and the level of confidence, right? Yeah. And that uncertainty that people have felt for quite some time, it's just still a little early, right? Mm-hmm. But there are aspects that are trending upward. Again, all in perspective, but we'll see how the economy continues to perform.
All right. I'm going to put your headphones on for just a minute, okay, Shannon, because Steve in Fargo wants to ask a question to you here this afternoon. Steve, good afternoon. Welcome to the show. What's your question for Shannon?
Yeah, my question or comment, you know, we talk about the civility of these, you know, different political sides and the crazies on the right and the crazies on the left, and they can't get together and have conversations. But I always circle back to, how crazy is the right? Now, I know there's some that are out there and we could pull some up, but you look at where have the positions of the political parties moved in the last 60 years? Mm-hmm. You know, so you look at, you know, a John F. Kennedy, mm-hmm, you know, and what his positions were. And I don't know if he's exactly pro-life, but Catholic, anti-war, small government, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
Yep.
And now look at the Democrats and this Mondavi guy, who's the crazy person that represents Minnesota from the squad.
Got it. Steve-O, I'm sorry to do this, my man. I want to get Shannon's comment, and I got to get one more question in. We get where you're going with this one. Shannon, I don't know how much you want to – thank you, Steve, for calling. I don't know how much you want to get into the political conversation, but any comments you'd have on that?
Yeah, I would maybe just comment that what we're seeing is this crazy amount of fragmentation and polarization. So a bleeding out of the middle and a lot more to the extremes, and that's what we really need to try to rein back in.
My last question for you is about public safety in Fargo. Is this a problem for the business community? Whatever the statistics might show, there's a general feeling like, okay, we're going through this crime wave. What does it mean to business here?
It is a challenge for businesses. I've met with three businesses downtown and our higher education leader, and public safety is one of the top concerns that were unprompted by all four of them. So,
So they're bringing it up to you.
Whether it's perception or reality, perception is reality, right? And so it is something that we need to really take a look at and get it. That it's all in perspective, that if you're coming from a busier community, maybe that's not the deal. But for people that are here in Fargo, it is a big deal. And it's definitely a big deal for those that have businesses downtown.
Oh, I can only imagine. Yeah, thanks, Shannon. Appreciate you being here. We could talk all night, but I appreciate you taking the time. Let's do this again sometime.
I would love it.
Shannon Full, President and CEO of the Fargo-Moorhead West Fargo Chamber. And she has the last word on the Steve Hallstrom Show today. Have a good night, my friend, and keep on flying that flag. Take care.